Here we are, 1 week after Easter. Even though much of the church throughout the world did not commemorate Easter in ways that we usually would do, the resurrection story of Jesus still remains unchanged. So in the weeks following Resurrection Sunday, we are once again reminded that we in the church are now resurrection people. We live in a world right now as a world that's on a collision course with resurrection. All things are being made new through the resurrection of Jesus. And this is a time then for those of us in the church to ask the question and consider, what does that new resurrection life in Jesus that we have look like? Perhaps for some people in our world, the thought of resurrection life only applies to an afterlife. I mean, after all, Jesus only experienced resurrection by going through death. The Bible promises that in the book of Revelation, that all people will be raised from the dead at the last day when Jesus returns and God makes all things new again. But at the same time, the Apostle Paul consistently writes in his letters to the church about new life in Christ that's already being experienced here, now, in this present time. So throughout the years, biblical theologians have spoken about this resurrection life in Christ as being already, but not yet. You see, there's a piece of resurrection victory in Jesus that has already begun to happen. It's already taken root and is already beginning to grow in the hearts and the lives of God's chosen people. But we also acknowledge that this resurrection will not find its perfect completion until Jesus comes again. All of that leading then today to our consideration of what it means for you and me to live right now today as resurrection people. You see, during this time, the time between the first resurrection of Jesus and that final resurrection, how does a faith, a resurrection faith, take shape in a world like that, our world today? Maybe that question is especially necessary today. Well, we're all continuing to live in this time of global pandemic, and we ask that question, how does that faith that we profess then take shape and show up in our world right now? Consider then today this story, a story of faith that comes from Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, where he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone there. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before the dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So how do we navigate stormy waters like that when we find them in our own lives? Well, I have to admit that I've caught myself in these last few weeks that we're in framing my faith in ways that has struggled to keep hold of that already but not yet. What I mean by that is the not yet part has completely taken over, and the already part is sort of losing its place. Think with me for a little bit today about how we see this balance of faith taking shape in the Apostle Peter in this story that we're looking at. See, the setting is this. Jesus has just provided this miraculous dinner. Many thousands of people are given food by Jesus, and with only a few loaves of bread and only a few fish. And the crowds of people then, after they have this meal, they're all dispersed and they go back to their own homes before nightfall. And Jesus goes up on a ridge that's overlooking the lake there so he can be alone and pray. And then he gives instructions for his disciples to get into a boat and cross over the lake and go to the other side during the night. The lake that we're talking about here is the Sea of Galilee. It's in the northern regions of Israel, and this lake is about 8 miles across from east to west at its widest point. It seems likely that this scene in this story takes place in an area where the lake may have been anywhere from 2 to 5 miles across from the west shore to the east shore. We don't know the exact locations of where these scenes in this story take place. So we don't know exactly where the disciples left one shore and arrived at another, but we assume that they crossed from west to east. And the reason we assume that is because in that area, the strongest winds that come onto the lake come down from the mountains that are on the east side of the lake. And we know from the story that we read that the disciples are struggling to row against a strong headwind that's coming at them all through the night. So here, the disciples are working all night long to do what Jesus requested, right? Cross over the lake and get to the other side. And it feels like they're just not making progress. Jesus comes out and he walks to them on the water then shortly before the dawn, is what our Bible says. But the Greek there tells us that it's in the fourth watch of the night. So that's anywhere between 3 and 6 a.m. is about when that happens. Our Bible also tells us that the boat is a considerable distance from land. So the Greek here says that they are many stadia. One stadia is the length of about 2 football fields. So it's possible here that the boat the disciples are in is somewhere between 1 and 2 miles from the shore. They're out there a ways. Now, it's not the first time that the disciples have been caught in bad weather out on this lake. The last time that we know this happened, Jesus was with them in the boat, but he was asleep. Remember, they had to wake him up and he calmed that storm. That time, the storm was so bad that the boat was in danger of being swamped and sinking. Well, this time, we don't get a sense like that. We don't get the sense that there's this threat of sinking the boat. Matthew is not describing the scene in his gospel as being a storm, really. All he says is that there's a strong wind and high waves. Those of us who live in Michigan, we know what that's about. I think we've maybe all seen times when there's this strong wind that comes on Lake Michigan and it kicks up some pretty large waves. That is what these disciples are facing in this boat and fighting against all night long. So the disciples are frightened then, but only frightened when they see Jesus come out and walk to them on the water. And I guess this makes sense. People don't usually walk on water, unless it's winter and the lake is frozen, that is. So they think it's a ghost. The Greek term ghost here is actually the word phantasma. It's where we get our English word phantom. And it doesn't actually mean ghost the way that we maybe think of it in our culture. More often, phantasma refers to a vision or a dream. But now the disciples are terrified, and Jesus has to reassure them that they're not dreaming. He's really there. It's real. And here is where we see at this point in the story an interaction between Peter and Jesus that gives us a bit of a lesson of faith for today. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." Let's pause right there for a minute and let's consider this setting, right? You and I, we're about 1 month into this health crisis here in Michigan that has also been occurring in places all around the world. And doesn't it feel right now that we're living sort of like we're in this boat that's cut off from shore and miles from anyone? And isn't it starting to feel like we're not making any steady headway because there's this strong wind pushing against us? And we're caught in these moments of wondering then, how long is it going to take to get to the other side of this thing? When can the world just open up again? When can you and I go back to work? When can it be safe for us to get back together with groups of people again? We're asking the question, when will this storm be over? Much of what I've been reading and seeing from people right now is about getting to the other side, right? Everything that we're doing right now just seems to be about getting us through this crisis and over to the other side. And could it be that we might be wrapping a little bit of our faith into this same get to the other side mentality? Are there moments in which, you know, we're focusing on a walk with God right now that is a walk that's just merely about getting through a storm? Imagine the story this way. What if the story here in Matthew's gospel were a little bit different? What if the disciples see Jesus out on the water and Peter says, "Jesus, how about you do that thing to make the storm go away?" Or, "Jesus, we're just trying to do what you asked us to do and get to the other side of this thing, and it sure would help if you tell that headwind to stop throwing waves at us." In fact, there might even be a moment of faith here where Peter would actually consider getting out of the boat and walking to Jesus on the water, but "I'd feel a whole lot better about it if you would just calm that storm and take care of that first." Of course, we see in the Gospels that Peter is the one who's always impulsive, right? He's the one who always leaps before he looks, that kind of a thing. So it's not surprising here that Peter does not hesitate to get out of the boat and walk on the water to Jesus, even when Jesus tells him to come right in the middle of that storm. But Matthew tells us that the wind and the waves around them cause Peter to become afraid, and then he starts to sink. So Jesus pulls Peter up and gets him into the boat. And then Jesus tells Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Little faith. That needs a little explanation. See, it's not little faith in the sense of small in size or amount, but it's not that Peter has a very small amount of faith and that all he needs is more faith. No, this is a Greek word that can refer to that, but it also carries a deeper meaning. It also has this faith, this sense of being little as being ineffective or insignificant. We get that too. Sometimes when a person might be so distraught that no word of consolation can help, we might say that those are words of little comfort. Not that those words of comfort are small in size, but that those are words that are ineffective in that moment and at that time. That's what's implied in the context of this passage. It's that Peter's faith is ineffective at that moment in which he's walking to Jesus on the water. The wind and the waves of the storm cripple Peter's faith at that time. The surrounding storm there is what's causing Peter's faith to be ineffective. You see, Peter did not need faith to get through the storm. Peter needed faith to be in the storm. Now, I think we mean well. I mean, it's not wrong to have a faith that trusts God to get us through times of crisis. It just leaves out the larger application of faith. A faith that trusts God to hold on to us, to form us, to shape us, even while we are in times of crisis. If all my faith is focused on getting through hardships, then my faith becomes rather ineffective at acting in the middle of hardships. Peter, though, he takes a step in that direction. He shows us just a glimpse here of faith that reaches right into the middle of this storm. But ultimately, the crisis of the moment takes over, and Jesus tells Peter that his faith has become ineffective to keep him standing afloat at that moment, to keep him from being swallowed up by the surrounding storm. So the moment when Peter's faith falters and he begins to sink, Jesus steps in. You know, it's not as though in that moment of weak and ineffective faith, it's the result of Jesus shaking his finger at Peter and saying, oh, too bad for you. Too bad that you didn't have the faith that you needed right now, and I guess you're on your own. I guess you're just going to have to sink. That's not what happens. Even in that moment when Peter's faith falls flat, Jesus is still there. Jesus grabs hold of Peter and pulls him up. Even in that moment in our own life, when our own faith might prove to be ineffective in the middle of a storm, even in moments when it might feel like our faith has nothing left to stand on, Jesus still reaches and takes hold of us. He still holds us up when our own faith may falter. How about you then? What does it look like to have a faith that is effective in the middle of a storm? Not just a faith that looks to get through the storm to the other side, but a faith that forms us and shapes us to stand strong in the here and now, right in the middle of this surrounding storm. In the middle of that storm on that lake and in that boat, Peter was not looking for a faith to make the boat miraculously transport over to the other side, right? Peter was not looking for a faith to make the storm miraculously disappear. No, Peter was looking for a faith to simply take a step toward Jesus, even in the middle of a stormy lake. That's helpful. It's helpful for us to see that today. What does that look like? A faith like that, a faith that is effective in the middle of a storm. It's a faith that takes a step closer to Jesus right now. Not later, not when this is over, not when we get to the other side, not when the storm goes away, but right now. How does your faith take a step closer to Jesus right now today? Jesus gives his followers an instruction about that and how he says this. And this is from John chapter 13, where he says this. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Loving others as Jesus loves you is taking a step closer to Jesus, a step of faith. So show God's love to someone else today, right? If you're at home with other family members, find a way today to express an act of love to someone else. If you're at home by yourself, consider a way that maybe you can reach out by writing a letter or sending a card or making a phone call. Love as Jesus loves. Now, here's the thing. It might be more difficult to do that and to take those steps right now. It might be more difficult to step closer to Jesus when it feels like we're in the middle of a storm. And it may feel easier then to put it off and say, I'm going to wait to take that step closer to Jesus. I'll wait until this storm passes, and I'll wait till we get to the other side. But remember today, Jesus does not leave you out in the middle of a storm alone. He's not waiting on the shore on the other side for you to find your own way to get through. Jesus comes to you right in the storm. His hand is reaching out to hold you up whenever or however it is that you find a way right now today to take a step of faith closer to Jesus, be assured that He will not let you sink. He will not let you go. Jesus not only invites you into a faith that gets you through this time, He invites you into a faith that holds you up in this time, today, right now. Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of faith that you give to us. God, we confess that sometimes we take our faith as something that is only meant to get us through a storm and to the other side. And we confess that we haven't always looked to our faith as the thing that helps us to take a step closer to you wherever we are right now today. God, help us to do that, to take a step closer to you in faith in ways that share your love as you have loved us and love others. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.